God never wanted the Jewish people to forget this incredible deliverance that he provided for them. And that's what Passover is all about. And that's something that the Jewish people do year after year after year.
Proclaiming Jesus as Messiah, this is The Messianic Voice with Marty Zeid, the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis, an evangelical faith missionary organization helping to spread God's love to the Jewish people throughout the Midwest and beyond. Our goal is to help provide you with the tools you'll need to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors. I want to remind you to stay with us through the end of today's broadcast for information on how to receive some free resource material that we'd like to make available to you. But right now, let's rejoin Marty Zeid with A Messianic Voice.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Messianic Voice program. We're coming to you from our headquarters in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm so glad you've joined us. We're starting a new little mini-series on what is the meaning of Passover. This is a wonderful time of celebration that the Jewish people do every year all around the world, sometimes even from a very non-religious background, as was my case. We celebrated Passover year after year after year. And we're going to talk about that, what it means and what its significance is. To find out where Passover began, you need to open your Bibles and look in Exodus chapter 12, because this gives to us the historical account of when Passover began. I'm going to read certain verses in Exodus chapter 12. You could actually read, if you want to, on your own, all the way from verse 1 down through verse 14, and that'll give you a fuller history, but I'm just going to take some of the verses out of there just to give us a little background of when this Passover began. It says, "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's households, a lamb for each household. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old, and you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt, and on that night I will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You are to celebrate it as a permanent ordinance." Well, this is where the history comes into play concerning the time of the Passover. It was an incredible event that took place in Israel's history. And where are we right now in the history of Israel when this event is beginning? Well, God had made a promise to Abraham, and he actually told him that his descendants would be in a strange land for years and years and years, actually 400 years. And it was during this time, while they were going to be strangers in a strange land, that they were slaves in Egypt. And as things continued to get worse and worse for the Jewish people, they began to cry out to God. And God raised up a special individual who was going to be used by him to bring deliverance to the Jewish people from their Egyptian slavery. And of course, we're referring to Moses. And God told Moses to go in unto Pharaoh and to say, "Let my people go." And it says in the Bible that Pharaoh hardened his heart and God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he refused to let the children of Israel leave to go worship their God. And then God began to send plague after plague after plague. And here we are, actually, this is the 10th of the 10 plagues, where God is going to slay the firstborn in every household. And the only way for the firstborn to be safe would be to be in a house where there was this blood of the lamb that was applied to the doorpost and to the lintel. Any person, any firstborn in a house where there was no blood, they would die. And that's really what this event is revolving around. And this event was so monumental, the Jewish people were never, ever supposed to forget this. And he gave them this celebration as a memorial so that year after year they celebrated. And if you were invited to a home of a Jewish family to enjoy the Passover Seder with them, what would be some of the things that you would experience? Well, like I said earlier, I was brought up Jewish from a very, very non-religious Jewish background. But even so, we did this every year. My mom went to tremendous preparations in getting the Seder ready. We would always invite over my relatives, my brothers and their wives and my nieces and nephews, and we would all join together and remember this wonderful event of how God delivered the Jewish people from their Egyptian bondage. At the Passover table, there would be a head table. And on this Passover head table, there would be a certain things that I will describe for you in just a little bit. But at every place setting, there's a book, which is called a Haggadah, a Passover Haggadah. And the word Haggadah means the telling of the story. And in this book, it recounts for us these events that we read in Exodus chapter 12 on how God miraculously delivered the Jewish people. And it goes over the way in which they are to celebrate and to remember this time. So page after page after page is read. Sometimes the leader is instructed to dip his hands in water and to wash his hands and lift up some matzah, and everybody has to partake of some bitter herbs and do all kinds of things. And this is all in remembering what God did for them when he delivered them from their Egyptian bondage. One of the things that would be on the head table at a Passover Seder is a Seder plate. Now, these are decorative plates. They come in different sizes and different colors and sometimes even different shapes. But on this Seder plate, there are little places where certain things need to be set. And they're all the same. Doesn't matter where you go. And let me just explain to you some of the things that are on the Seder plate. There would be a place for some people use parsley or stalks of celery, and they leave the little green leafy parts on at the top. And that would be one of the items that would be on the Passover Seder plate. And that represents the hyssop. We read about that in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 22. After the Jewish people took the lamb and killed it, they collected its blood, maybe in some kind of bowl, something of sort. And then they would take a bunch of hyssop, and that was a little plant that grew over there in Egypt, and they would dip the hyssop in the blood of the lamb and use it like a paintbrush to apply the blood to the doorposts and to the lintel. Because this is what the angel of death was looking for as he was going through the land of Egypt that night. He was only looking for one thing and one thing only, and that was the blood. And they would take this hyssop and dip it in the blood, and that's how they would apply it to the doorpost and the lintel. And that's one of the things on the Seder plate. Another item on the Passover Seder plate would be some bitter herbs. We read about this in Exodus chapter 1. 13 and 14, and today we would use horseradish. Now, we're talking about the hot kind of horseradish, the real, real hot kind of horseradish. Every year we have a Passover Seder here at the Midwest Messianic Center, and it's a Messianic Passover Seder because it gives a wonderful opportunity, as you're going to see in a little bit, how it points to the person of the Lord Jesus and how he is the fulfillment of all of this. And if somebody is new at our Passover Seder, we warn them, when you partake of the bitter herbs, and by the way, everybody has to partake of it, but when you do partake of it, go slow, go easy on it, because it is very, very potent. Sometimes if you take too big of a bite, it causes your eyes to water and everything else to run as well. So we warn people. But the horseradish, or these bitter herbs, represents the bitter, hard times that they were experiencing as slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. Another item on the Passover Seder plate would be something which is called haroseth. And this is a mixture of apples. You peel an apple and you dice it up into small pieces and you let it sit out in the open, which means it turns a little bit brown, and that's exactly what you want it to do. And to those chopped up apples, you add cinnamon and honey and raisins and some kind of nut like a pecan or a walnut, some grape juice, and you mix all of that together and just let it sit. And it turns this kind of rosy brown color. You got the grape juice in there. And that represents the mortar that was used in the time of their slavery. Exodus chapter 1, verse 14, where they had to go and make the bricks and use mortar to build these big cities for Pharaoh. And then another item on the Passover Seder plate was a hard-boiled egg. And, you know, there's probably more differences of opinions as to what the egg has reference to. But one possible suggestion is, you know, if you take a real egg that is this little baby chick inside of it, and as that little chick would begin growing, it wouldn't have very much room inside of this little shell. It would be so restricted, couldn't move about freely. That's kind of the way it was. That's kind of the lifestyle the Jewish people had while they were slaves. But then there came a time, as this chick continued to grow, that it would bust out of its shell. It would have freedom to roam around. And that certainly took place when the Jewish people were delivered from their slavery. That's one suggestion. There's others as well. But by far, the most important thing on the Passover Seder plate is the shank bone of the lamb. The shank bone of the lamb. Because that represents the lamb. And the lamb is what had to give its life so the firstborn could live. If they didn't have a lamb, it was so important that they were even supposed to go next door and utilize the lamb that the next door neighbors had. There had to be a lamb. There had to be some blood. Why? Because that's the only thing that the angel of death was looking for as he was going to be going through the land of Egypt that night. Now, I want you to try to picture this in your mind's eye. I don't know where you live, but just ask yourself the question, how many homes are there in the area in which you live? If you live in a major city like we do in St. Louis, how many thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of homes are there in our city? Well, I want you to see what took place that night in the land of Egypt. It says in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 30, "And Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians." It says there was a great cry in the land of Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead. Isn't that amazing? In every single household among the Egyptians, there was someone who had died that night. And it was even possible for there to be more than one person who had died. It says that the firstborn was going to be killed. Well, what if there were two firstborns in that house? What if one of the parents were a firstborn and then they had a couple of children? Then there would be a firstborn child as well. Well, could you imagine what would happen just in St. Louis? If one person in every household would die, you think it would make the news? I guarantee it. You know it would. Well, this caused a tremendous reaction from Pharaoh. Remember, Moses had been coming into him saying, "Let my people go, let my people go," and he kept refusing. Well, he did not even wait for daybreak. He called Moses in right there in the middle of the night and said, "Go, rise up, get out from among my people, both you and your sons, and go and worship your God." They were afraid that they were all going to die. So the Jewish people, and it's estimated that there were over 2 million Jewish people at this time, they got their things packed, and then they started knocking on doors of the Egyptians and said, "Hey, can we have some of your gold? Can we have some of your silver and precious stones? And can we have some of your valuable linens and so forth? Believe it or not, they just handed them over to them. Well, what were they going to use those things for? Because this is when they were going to begin wandering in the wilderness. Well, actually, just to take one little bitty rabbit trail, they used those things to make the tabernacle, because a lot of the items in the tabernacle were overlaid by gold, and they had all of those fine pieces of linen that they utilized in making the tabernacle where God was going to meet with them. So they went and got all of these things from the Egyptians, and they left. And the Jewish people are quite a ways off now, and Pharaoh says to himself, "What in the world did I do? Why did I let these people go?" So he had a change of mind. So he says, "Quickly, call my army together, get my chariots ready." And Pharaoh and his army began to take off in pursuit of the Jewish people to bring them back and make them once again slaves to him so they could continue to rebuild or to build the cities for him. Well, the Jewish people had come to the Red Sea, and they turned around and heard this commotion, and it was Pharaoh's army in their chariots quickly in pursuit. What do they do now? They got Pharaoh's army on one side, and they've got the Red Sea on the other side. Well, if you're familiar with the scriptures, you know what happens. God parts the Red Sea. God parts the Red Sea, and the Jewish people walk on dry ground all the way across to safety on the other side. And while Pharaoh's army and their chariots are right there on the dry ground, the walls of water collapsed upon them, drowning Pharaoh's army and the horses. And the Jewish people look around at each other, and you can only imagine they must have said, "Wow, this is amazing." And this is the event that God never wanted the Jewish people to forget. He never wanted them to forget this incredible deliverance that he provided for them. And that's what Passover is all about. All those items on the Passover Seder plate, those refer back to what it was like for them when they were slaves in Egypt. And God never wanted them to forget that they were slaves. God wanted them to remember, "This is what I delivered you from." Well, after a wonderful miracle of that night, when the angel of death passed through the land of Egypt and all of the firstborn were slain where there was no blood on the doorpost and the lintel, and after God parted the Red Sea and they walked through safely on dry ground and the army of Pharaoh was drowned with their chariots, certainly the Jewish people would never forget something like that. Well, unfortunately, it didn't take all that long, because as you continue to read in the book of Exodus, the people of Israel began to murmur and complain to Moses. "Moses, why did you bring us up out of the land of Egypt to die? Oh, that we were back in the land of Egypt, and we longed for the onions and the leeks and the garlics." And they forgot. They forgot what it was like for them when they were slaves unto Pharaoh. And of course, this is what God didn't want Israel to forget. And this is why he gave them this celebration year after year after year. Well, lest we too quickly point the finger at them and say, "Boy, I would never forget anything like that," we need to be careful. Because in our next lesson, we're going to discover that we have the very, very same tendency. Well, I want to go on and tell you something else that is on the Passover head table when you would be celebrating a Seder. There's something which is called a unity pouch, a unity pouch. And when I do a Passover Seder at churches, and when I do one here at the Midwest Messianic Center, we have one of these unity pouches. And in this unity pouch, there are three different compartments. And in each of those compartments, there's a whole piece of matzah that goes into each compartment. So in this one pouch, there are three whole pieces of matzah separated in these little compartments. And I'm going to read for you exactly what it says in the Passover Haggadah, where it tells the leader on what to do. It instructs them on what to do with this unity pouch. It says, "The leader takes the middle piece of matzah, breaks it in two, leaves the one half between the two whole ones, wraps up the other half in a cloth and sets it aside, and it becomes the afikomen." Well, let me explain to you what this has reference to. That middle piece of matzah, which is broken in two, the one half is left between the other two whole pieces of matzah. You got 2.5 pieces of matzah in the pouch. Then you've got this other piece of matzah, and you wrap it up in a linen cloth, and you hide it away. You hide it somewhere in the house. Because after you have this wonderful meal, the children are set free to run around the house to try to find this hidden piece of matzah. And when the child finds it, normally you hear a little bit of a yelp out of excitement because they know that when they bring that piece of matzah back to the one who is leading the Passover Seder, they're going to get a gift. They're going to get maybe some money or a new game, whatever the leader chooses. Well, what does this unity pouch mean? What is this unity pouch referring to that is used during the time of the celebration of the Passover Seder? If you were to ask a Jewish rabbi and ask him, well, what do these three pieces of matzah refer to? They'll probably say something like this. Well, the three pieces of matzah refer to our great patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's it. Well, wait a minute. What does the middle piece of matzah being broken signify? And on and on and on. What about the hiding of it? And what about the child receiving the gift? There's another meaning to it. And I like to see how this really kind of refers to the wonderful truth that we have in the Bible, that the Old Testament and New Testament teaches that there's one God. Old Testament says there's one God, New Testament says there's one God. But this one God has revealed himself in three different persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It was the middle piece of matzah that was broken. Just like it was the middle person of the triune Godhead who allowed his body to be broken, the Lord Jesus, when he was crucified. That middle piece of matzah is wrapped up in a linen cloth. When the Lord Jesus was crucified and he had died, it was Joseph of Arimathea who went in and asked for the body of the Lord Jesus, and he was granted permission. They took him down off the cross. They wrapped his body in a linen cloth and hid him away, just like the piece of matzah was hidden away. But then it reappeared again after the child found it, just like the Lord Jesus reappeared again when he was resurrected from the dead. And did you notice that the child who found the piece of matzah received a gift? Now, everybody who's at the Passover Seder, and this is very, very important, has to sit back down, they unwrap the piece of matzah, and everybody has to personally partake of this piece of afikomen, this piece of matzah. And of course, the person who personally receives the Lord Jesus, do they not receive the greatest gift there is? Not a little bit of cash, not a new game or a new toy, but rather forgiveness of sins and eternal life. I see how that unity pouch is very picturesque and represents and typifies the very person of the Lord Jesus and the entire Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The truth that there's one God. And that's why we see this unity pouch. And that's something that the Jewish people do year after year after year. And those are just some of the things that are done during a Passover Seder. There are others as well, but our time is just about gone. But let me just say this. I hope you'll be remembering some of these wonderful truths about the Passover. Because when the Jewish people celebrate the Passover, it would be nice for you to walk up to them and say, oh, by the way, happy Passover. Then you might be able to share a few things with them that you're learning. They might be surprised that how in the world does he know about what I celebrate? Might even open up a door of opportunity for you to share with them how the Lamb and the blood of the Lamb, of course, represents the Lord Jesus, which we're going to see next time. But take your piece of paper and pencil, write to us, write down this address. It's MMC. Post Office Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri, 63006. If you would feel so inclined and would like to send a small donation in to help us keep these broadcasts on the air, we would certainly appreciate that as well. Well, I hope that this has been a blessing to you as you begin to see how the Lord Jesus is pictured by this Lamb that provided the blood. We're going to speak on that even in more detail next time. Well, until that time, may God richly bless you.
The The Messianic Voice with Marty Zide is the radio ministry of Midwest Messianic Center in St. Louis. Our goal is to proclaim Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone, but with special emphasis on God's chosen people. If you'd like to know how to effectively witness to your Jewish friends and neighbors, or understand better what God's Word says about Israel and the Jewish people, check out the resources we've made available at our website. Simply log on at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You'll find books, videos, and audio material designed to assist in your evangelism efforts and your personal spiritual growth. We are a listener-supported ministry and would appreciate your financial gifts to help in this outreach. Your gift in any amount is tax-deductible and can be sent to MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. We would love to hear from you and know that you're partnering with us in this very important ministry. Again, our mailing address, MMC, P.O. Box 6611, Chesterfield, Missouri 63006. Again, you can visit us online at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. That's MidwestMessianicCenter.org. You may also contact us by email through our website at MidwestMessianicCenter.org. We appreciate you spending this time with us today and invite you to join us again next time as we proclaim Jesus as Messiah on The Messianic Voice.